present the News Quiz with your host, Sandy Toksvig.
Hello and welcome to the News Quiz. We start with a cutting from the London Remade newsletter read by Charlotte Green.
This month sees London enter a new chapter for waste and recycling with the election of Boris Johnson as mayor.
And our thanks to John Parry for spotting that. Now let's meet the teams. Will you welcome first on my right, Francis Ween and Carrie Quinlan. And opposite them on my left, Jeremy Hardy and Andy Hamilton. Right, Francis, who hasn't been keeping mum about getting rid of dad?
It's Ian Duncan Smith come back to haunt us.
I know.
Just when I thought he'd gone. He put an amendment to the Human Fertilisation and Embryology Bill, and he failed because he said they should keep the requirement that fertility clinics have to consider a child's need for a father before they'll put a bun in your oven. So it's now it's free for all. Good day for lesbian mothers, single mothers, and lots of other people. Good day for animals as well. There's a clause in the bill which allows for the creation of human-animal hybrid embryos.
What, like sort of Jade Goody?
Very much. Well, I think they've been around for decades. I didn't know they were illegal till now. I mean, where do you think George Bush came from? So, two parts chimpanzee, one part Keith Chegwin.
Must be great having two mums. You'd be nicely turned out in the morning, wouldn't you? Hard to get to school running a gauntlet of palms and saliva.
Amused, but it was Edward Lee, was it, the Tory MP who very agitated about these proposed, you know, what he regards as sort of Frankenstein science, creating hybrid embryos for stem cell research and stuff. And at one point he said, I mean, we can't allow this. I mean, these things, they're 99% human. And I thought, well, I know quite a lot of people who don't quite manage that. 99% is quite high, really. And then he said, and we don't want babies born for the wrong reasons. And you think, well, babies are born for all sorts of wrong reasons. You know, you forget your contraceptives when you go into Balmoral. You know.
Actually, apparently it was because Gordon Brown feared a Catholic backlash. He decided that he was going to have a free vote because he thought the Catholics were...
It's Ruth Kelly, isn't it, all over again? Most things are.
Speaking of human-animal hybrids.
Yeah, well.
Like on the abortion bill. They're using this argument of, oh, we just want to reduce the limit as a kind of backdoor way of... I mean, clearly their plan is that they just keep reducing the limit, the weeks at which a woman is legally entitled to have an abortion, and eventually they'll get the limit down to the situation where if they don't abort within half an hour of conception, then they're breaking the law. It's a Trojan horse. Do you remember the Trojan horse?
Well, not personally. Francis?
I certainly... I remember it well. Quid quidit est timeo danios et dona ferentes. That's what they said about the Trojan horse.
Your time at Harrow not wasted, though.
I'm only doing that because did you see Boris Johnson gave his first question time thing this week at the London Assembly, and he spoke in Latin.
Yes, he didn't call it question time, he called it catechism, which is an entirely correct use of the word because it means rigorous questioning.
Apparently there was a lovely moment when he did his normal bumbling through an answer and going on forever, and a Green Assembly member went, repetition.
The only other reason I mentioned that is that after the last News Quiz I did 2 weeks ago, I had a complaint from the head of classics at a school in Shrewsbury, a woman called Jo, who said she was shocked that I didn't know that platypus in Greek is a third declension noun and not a second declension noun. And so the plural of it is platypodes and not platypoi, as I said. So the BBC, I'm afraid, has had to apologise yet again.
That's nothing to the letter I had to write to Cliff Richards. I wouldn't worry about it. After an impassioned debate in the House of Commons, the requirement for a father figure for children born from IVF has been scrapped by MPs, and single women will no longer have to think about the father when seeking fertility treatment. The change in the law means that in the case of both parents being women, no man can be treated as the father in order to avoid a child having three parents and becoming the subject of a hilarious American romantic comedy. Carrie, who's saying bye-bye after a by-election?
Crewe by-election.
It was so long ago, you can't even remember the result.
I know.
But who'd have thought?
Yeah. I thought it worked out how I'd imagined.
Yeah, it was amazing, wasn't it?
Anybody get into trouble for anything that they might have done?
Oh, yes, there were several... bless you.
Thank you.
The Tory candidate was of the Timpson family, so he's a cobbler's heir and worth millions. So Labour Party activists thought it would be a very good idea to dress up as toffs and parade around the town going, "I'm the Tory party candidate." Ironically, that's essentially what Timpson was doing anyway.
And also, when you're campaigning on behalf of someone who believes in the hereditary principle and that because her mother was MP there, she should be MP there, it's probably not very good to make a dynastic point about this.
The worst thing, though, is Labour voters who's then switched to Tory. I've never got that. Because I think, well, I can understand your disillusion, so you vote for the Greens or you vote for the Liberal Democrats, who are in many ways now to the left of Labour. But jumping to the Tories, it's a bit like, well, I've always had my hair cut in the barbers on the high street, but this time I thought I'd set fire to my head.
This is last night's Crewe and Nantwich by-election, the results of which are now patently clear. Edward Timpson was the subject of an extraordinary campaign, the Conservative candidate. His family owned the famous shoe shops. He was also accused of being anti-monarchist as well as a toff, and it could be something to do with the sign in the window that says Cobblers to the Queen. Jeremy, who's ganging up on teachers?
The government has decided that instead of giving teachers a pay rise, they're going to put them in the forefront of the war against gangsterism. So teachers are going to have to... I mean, I think they imagine that schools are still populated by people like Sidney Poitier, but the teachers are going to have to try and control gang culture in schools at the same time as they're trying to reintroduce the cadets. So on the one hand, you're trying to steer children away from trouble, and on the other hand, you're introducing them to firearms at a very early age. But it's probably not going to work, because the trouble is, kids play out. Now, you see, there's this myth. People say, oh, in my day, it was great. You see, we played out all the time, and it was marvellous, you see, because we'd go off in fields and streams and make witches brew and tree houses, and it was lovely. And we'd stop trains by holding up red bloomers, and it was marvellous. I mean, we'd go down the Amazon on a swallow. Oh, it was marvellous. In the back of the wardrobe, there was a snow queen. And the fact is, if kids didn't play out, they wouldn't be in gangs. Make them stay in all the time. That's what I say. I suspect that Al Capone played out a lot. I think if they'd got him Sabutio, then there would have been a lot less trouble.
Don't mention Sabutio to Sandy. She used to be a player, didn't she?
Oh, so we've started early, Mr. Hamilton.
I think teachers have probably lost a lot of the gang calming skills, because we had a teacher at our school called Mr. Bushell, who spoke like, did you remember Derek Nimmo? He sort of spoke, he had a lovely sort of fluting, vicarish voice. And he's a very, very nice man, a very kind teacher, always tried to see the best in everybody and was always encouraging. And one day we were in class and one of the boys had been having a bit of a problem with another boy. They'd been bullying going on. While Mr. Bushell was writing on the blackboard, this particular boy produced a rifle from his games bag and pointed it in the face of the other boy. It was an air rifle, but it was pointing it right at his eyes. Yeah, it was a very scary moment. And Mr. Bushell turned around to see this boy. I'll call him Hughes. That's not his real name, but I don't want to use his real name in case he's out there and he's still got the rifle. And he turned around and he said, Hughes, put down the gun. And he said, no, I'm not. I'm going to blow his head off. And Mr. Bushell said, no, I'm sorry, Hughes, I really must insist. And still this boy said, no, I'm going to kill him, he's been driving me, I'm going to bloody kill him. And he came out finally with the ultimate deterrent. He said, you leave me no choice, Hughes. If you don't put down the gun, I shall have to go and fetch Mr. Halfacre.
Did Mr. Halfacre have a grenade or something?
Government ministers want teachers to identify gang members in their schools by analysing their clothing, photographing their graffiti, and screening their computer accounts. Teachers will have to ban groups that wear distinctive gang items, such as certain badges, T-shirts, or trainers. And I think that's great. That's a terrific way to get rid of the netball team. That is a ludicrous heightist sport. What is that? Look at me! I can swivel on one leg. Yeah, well, swivel on this. 2 points there to Jeremy. Andy, why should we be worried about the freedom of information being available to those who want to protect our freedom?
Oh, is it a big database thingy, Bob?
Yeah, the Home Office wants to gather up all of the emails and text messages and phone call details in the land.
Yes.
And put them in one out tray.
On one big disc that they can post. This is this government's romantic obsession with the idea that computers are wizards. They can do anything, computers. Basically, the government is obsessed with the idea that somehow amassing information makes you more efficient. It's a lie. The opposite is true. The more information you amass, the more overwhelmed you become and the more paralysed you become. Ignorance is the way to run the country. I don't know what... I'm getting quite passionate about this. I think I might start a political party to promote ignorance.
Been done. They just won a by-election.
But it's like, do you see that Gordon Brown this week did another YouTube broadcast? Because he's so mad about computers, he thinks, oh, this is the way forward, show I'm down with the kids. And he put himself on YouTube, burbling on in his usual way. And I think he'd had about 700 hits by the end of the week. Whereas there's some very good footage on YouTube of Gordon Brown picking his nose, which had 250,000 hits.
But the logical Labour strategists, because they're very literal people, they'll look at that, they'll go, clearly, nose-picking is the more popular form than actually political speeches. So he'll probably be encouraged to do it. He'll be flicking bogeys across the floor of the House of Commons.
Comrades, I tell you, pick, lick, roll and flick.
In line with their great track record for handling large quantities of data, the government is planning to create a super database containing details of every phone call, every email and every website visited by British citizens. By 2013, Labour wanted to be compulsory to have an ID card which will contain three pieces of biometric data: fingerprints, the face and a scan of the iris. Or if irises are out of season, a scan of your aspidistra. So 2 points to Andy. So at the end of round one, the scores are Jeremy and Andy have got 4 points, but Francis and Carrie are just in the lead with 5. And we start round two with a cutting from the London Metro newspaper.
Keith Richards has revealed he owns 3,000 guitars and plans to display them in a museum or give them away. The Rolling Stone star, who is 64, said, "I've probably got too many guitars. I've got 3,000 guitars, and I've only got 2 pairs of hands."
Thanks to Evelyn Lowe of Rainer's Lane, who sent us that. Francis, who says we should love a man in uniform?
It's that chap, Quentin Davis, yeah, who was a Tory MP and then defected to Labour. And he's hated by everyone now. I mean, he's not the most popular MP anyway, Quentin Davis. The Tories always hated him. They were rather glad if he shot at him. But Labour always hated him, and they haven't changed their attitude either. So the one person who likes him, someone who understands friendlessness, Gordon Brown, asked him to do a report into how we could make people love our troops more. And he says we should have an annual bank holiday to celebrate the armed forces, and there should be a new law, make it illegal to discriminate against people in uniform. Except traffic wardens, obviously, but that sort of thing, I think.
Well, isn't it, it'd be illegal to insult a member of the armed forces, was what I read.
If they're in uniform.
But what if someone genuinely is a tosser and they happen to be in uniform? Are you allowed to do it then?
The law will be that you can send people unarmed to the Hellman Province, but you can't swear at them in Peterborough. That will be the...
The law will be that you cannot refuse admission to a British soldier in uniform, which will make us a lot easier for us to invade countries, won't it? Because they can put up quite a spirited resistance at times. But if they're told that they can't, because it'll...
But the law is going to be that you can't refuse somebody admission to a shop. When have you ever been in a newsagent and it says only 2 brigadiers at a time?
But if the criteria is that they are contributing a huge public service, does that mean we get a bank holiday celebrating Doctors and Nurses Day and Comedy Writers Day?
I worry a bit about the toughness of our troops, though, if the government are having to legislate, oh, stop picking on the trained killers. Go, oh, leave them alone.
Also, if you're not allowed to discriminate on the grounds of uniform, I thought that's confusing on the battlefield. I mean... To have an equality officer at the back saying, I'm afraid we've had complaints, you've only seemed to be shooting at the enemy.
If soldiers do start wearing their uniforms around all the time, we won't know whether we've had a military coup or not, will we?
Part of a dastardly plan. A new criminal offence of abusing the military has been proposed. It's hoped that the public, because of this law, will show more respect to anyone wearing a military uniform, although, quick note to Prince Harry, probably safer to stick to a British uniform.
Did you see the great Prince Philip story? It's something about getting old. When I was a young man, I regarded Prince Philip with contempt. But as I get older, I find myself wanting to be like him more and more. And he was at the Chelsea Flower Show. And he was obviously doing, you know, what a royal has to do. They have to go around and feign interest in people. And he went up to this bloke. He said, I really like your fern. And this guy said, well, actually, it's not a fern. It's a cyclad. And Prince Philip said, well, I didn't want a bloody lecture. And walked off. That's rather wonderful, isn't it? It always amuses me that he's on the civil list. Oh,
critics have claimed the armed forces need real help, not this trivial talk. Trivial talk about the forces comes in three types: army chat, navy gossip, and RAF wittering. That is a quality gag, can I just say?
That is a quality gag. That's the first gag I've ever heard where the tag is the name of an RAF base.
That's not bad, is it?
That's pretty good going, isn't it?
Doesn't work with Northolt, though, does it?
If anybody can think of a joke that finishes RAF Northolt, well done. 2 points to Francis.
The thing to do is be in a lift with two people in the lift, and then when the door opens and somebody else gets in, one of you says, RAF Northolt, and you both collapse laughing. I've got to find out what that joke was.
You really need to get out more. Carrie, who's going to be waiting 12 weeks to take a holiday?
This is temps.
Temps.
Who are going to get equal rights with permanent workers after they've worked somewhere for 12 weeks. Which is good news for me, because this doesn't pay the bills. And I've temped a lot in my life.
It's the worst temp job you ever had.
Well, I worked for a while for a garage door company in customer services, and people would ring up and say, I can't open my garage door, and I'd have to say, we can get an engineer to you in 10 days. And then try and butt in while they were screaming very rude words down the phone at me.
Worst one I've had was I worked in Harrods, and it was a great...
Was it in the grotto?
I really should have seen that one coming. And underneath Harrods, there's a fantastic sort of underground city, a little labyrinth.
No, there is.
There is.
Yes, and under Selfridges, there's Atlantis.
No, there is. It goes on.
And there are dinosaurs under John Lewis.
There is. It extends in high, and all the they've all got names like Kensington Gore and things like that. And I was a porter there, and I used to. You've got little trolleys that you can drive around. I didn't get to drive one of those around because I crashed it into a wall on the first day. But it was a great.
Mr. Wonka was pissed off at you.
Yes, he was.
I worked in a... There was an underground labyrinth underneath the Bodleian Library in Oxford, and I worked in the Bodleian Library shop for a while, which was actually quite fun, because you got tourists asking really stupid questions, and I was there when some Americans went up to one of the porters at the Bodleian, really impressed with the building, and said, this place is amazing. Is it pre-war? And incredibly calmly, he just said, madam, this place is pre-America.
I was a car park attendant for 1 week in 1982, and I haven't done a stroke of work since.
Agency workers are set to be given the same employment rights as permanent workers. The rights only kick in after 12 successive weeks of employment. This is a welcome step forward, said Lorelei Burt, the Lib Dem small business spokeswoman. The report didn't say exactly how small she is. At the end of round two, I can tell you that Jeremy and Andy have got 8 points, but Francis and Carrie are in the lead with 9. And before we start round three, here's a correction from The Guardian.
Deanne Julius has a PhD from the University of California at Davis, not Santa Barbara, as we said in our article on May the 14th, entitled Attention to Detail.
And our thanks go to everybody who sent us that. Jeremy, who wouldn't let their fat sleeping dog lie?
In Cornwall, some people have a very, very fat dog. And it's wrong to have a fat dog. And you think, why? You're feeders, aren't you? Why is your dog fat? Because you let it come on the dinner table. And you eat tinned ham while making a whole roast dinner for your dog, and you put a tie on the dog, don't you? And then you put a napkin round its neck and put a little knife and fork there, even though it has no hands. And you let it lick your face when its tongue has been in its rear end. And you say, don't worry, he won't hurt you, based on no evidence at all. and these people got their dog really, really fat and then thought, let's take him down to the sea. And they let him go down these steps. And the RNLI had to... Now, when you're at the seaside and you see a lifeboat go out, it's a very exciting moment for somebody of my generation, because we basically funded that. We young Blue Peter viewers used to send in guide dogs to be melted down and turned into milk bottle tops. They used to melt the guide dogs down. They'd be pressed into the shape of milk bottle tops. And if you got enough of these, you could stick them together with postage stamps and make a whole lifeboat out of it. And so when it goes out to sea, you think, that's the money that we raised and some dimwit has fallen off a ski. And basically, this boat had to go out with all whistles and bells to get this fat dog because it couldn't get back up the stairs.
And it was so too old to go. It was too old and too fat. Well, it was too old, mostly. It had gone 130 steps down onto the beach, too old to climb back up. And I thought, that is why, on Strictly Come Dancing, you only ever see Bruce Forsyth come down the stairs. A 15-stone St Bernard Mastiff Cross. Well, he would be. called Arnold had to be rescued by lifeboat after he became stranded on a beach with a rising tide and was too fat to climb to safety. Well, which of us hasn't been there? Andy, who's been monkeying around in court this week?
Monkeying around, sorry?
In court.
Is it the story about the giant mice that are eating all the birds on the island in the South Atlantic?
Oh, that's horrible.
It's not. Francis, do you know what the answer is? Monkeying around in court or Carrie?
Is it the chimp? Who wants to be a real boy?
Oh, in Germany.
Absolutely. Chimps aren't monkeys, they're apes.
Yes. Can we have a point?
Two
for
more
that?
Points. Yeah.
We're cleaning up here, Jeremy. Just basic quibbling will win us so many points.
So,
and
Andy,
the tomato isn't a vegetable, it's a fruit.
Andy, who's been aping around in
a
court this week?
Banana's a herb.
Oh, for goodness sake, somebody answer the question.
It's a chimpanzee.
Thank you.
He wants to be a humanzee.
Yes.
In Germany. I'm running out of stuff.
If a chimpanzee is able to conduct a court case, I suggest he should be given the full rights of citizenship of Germany immediately.
OK, it's not Germany at all, it's Austria.
Oh, my God. Same thing. Haven't you heard of Anschluss? So there's a chimp in court applying...
Having a tea party.
One at a time.
Go on, Carrie, you know the answer.
Well, no, I was enjoying what you were saying.
Well,
I'll tell you what the answer is.
Some animal rights person in Austria is going to court to say that the chimp should have the same rights as humans so that it gets a pension and has free health treatment and stuff.
On the chimp's behalf, presumably, because when the judge says, and have you any comments to make...
Well, what...
Stop Heather Mills.
There's a woman who wants to declare the chimp a human so she can take
you
care...
You can't get the point.
Well, I've got to finish the show because I desperately need a gin and tonic. Now, she wants to make the chimp a human so that she can take care of him if his animal sanctuary closes. And I think the problem here is that presumably during the campaign they cannot call it an animal sanctuary, otherwise she's already lost her case. And I imagine she's in court referring to him as living in a gated community. Now...
Can't she look after him anyway, just as on a pet basis? Mm. She's not going to pretend that she's married to him or something, is she?
I don't... It's down...
Has she not seen Every Which Way But Loose?
Well done, whoever got that right. Have
a
banana.
It's me, Sandy.
Which is a herb.
I got that right, Sandy. It's a chimp in Austria, Sandy.
Yes.
A little chimp that...
Thanks, Andy.
That's all right.
An Austrian animal rights group is trying to get a chimpanzee declared a person in the European... Court of Human Rights. Scientists have made great advances in interspecies communication by teaching chimpanzees sign language. After months of effort, one chimp eventually signed back, "I appreciate all your hard work, but I'm not actually deaf." Oh, dear. Before we reveal the final scores, because I have about as much an idea of what they are as I know who won the Crewe Nantwich by-election, let's hear the cuttings the teams have brought along. Francis.
Sandy. Many thanks to Diana and John Martin of Carlisle for sending this in. It's from the Cumberland News. It appeared back in February, but better late than never. Perfume, chocolates and flowers are the traditional Valentine's Day gifts. But Marion Stevenson got a donkey. Husband John arranged for it to be delivered to a field near their home in Cargo, near Carlisle. Marion, 49, said, "It's the most romantic thing he's ever done for me. Every time I look at it, I will think of John."
Carrie, this I found in the Guardian yesterday. It's an interview with Nancy Dell'Olio, and she's asked, "Are you happy?" And she says, "I consider myself a process. In every stage of your life, you're happy in a different way. If you're stupid, of course you are happy. Am I happy? Yes." Jeremy.
This is one similar. Can I borrow your glasses? Because I can't see.
Oh, for God's sake.
Lesbian glasses.
Don't wear them for too long, you'll start doing DIY.
I can't. Oh, is it? Oh,
look down through the bottom.
Oh, I see. Bifocal. Ah. Hedging your bets. I could change you, my dear. This is from CNN website, and it's sent in by Simon Saunders. And it says, former top Bush aide Karl Rove didn't get the friendliest of receptions at the University of Iowa Sunday. At one point during the speech, Rove reportedly lashed out at some of the students, saying, "You got a chance to ask your questions later and make your stupid statements. Let me make mine."
Andy.
This is from Richard O. Smith of Oxford, and it's from an e-dispatch from a professional body, the Institute of Actuaries. It's in those paragraphs of legal disclaimers you get at the end of an email, and it says, "Any opinions or advice contained within are not necessarily those of, nor a wholly owned subsidiary thereof, nor authorised or regulated by the Financial Services Authority, and are intended as general guidance only and do not constitute advice or a contract in law. Help, I'm being held prisoner by the Institute of Actuaries. They keep me in a windowless office and make me stuff envelopes all day. If I don't stuff enough, they beat me. Please help."
Let's take a look at the final scores. No idea if this is right. Jeremy and Andy have got 11 points, but this week's winners are Francis and Carrie with 14 points. Before we leave you, here is a question from a religious study GCSE exam sent in by Daniel Pitts.
What is God? 2 marks.
And with that, goodbye.
Taking part in the news quiz were Francis Wheen, Harry Quinlan, Jeremy Hardy and Andy Hamilton. In the chair was Sandy Toksvig, and the news is read by me, Charlotte Green. The chair script was written by Lucy Clark, Simon Littlefield, James Sherwood and Danielle Ward, with additional material by Alan Stafford. The producer was Ed Morrish.